Report of the Nebraska Tax Policy Reform Commission, November 15, 2007. Introduction. The Nebraska Legislature created the Nebraska Tax Policy Reform Commission in 2006 and directed the commission to examine Nebraska state and local tax policy in the following areas. 1. Evaluate current Nebraska tax policies and how they relate to generally recognized tax policies of adequacy, equity, economic competitiveness, simplicity, and accountability, and recommend improvements. 2. Examine household tax burdens and business tax burdens as compared to the United States as a whole and states having demographics similar to those of Nebraska, and recommend improvements. 3. Examine tax rates as compared to the United States as a whole and states having demographics similar to those of Nebraska, and recommend improvements. 4. Evaluate current business tax incentive programs and recommend improvements. 5. Examine demographic changes taking place in the state. Anticipate the effects such changes have on the revenue adequacy and stability for the state in the future, and recommend improvements. The last comprehensive study of Nebraska's tax structure was published nearly 20 years ago in 1988 and was titled Nebraska Comprehensive Tax Study, commonly referred to as the Syracuse Tax Study. This study was commissioned through Syracuse University. The recommendations of the Syracuse study are referenced throughout this report. The appointed members of the commission consist of 8 state senators, 2 representatives of the executive branch, and a diverse group of 8 representatives from the private sector representing the interests of various Nebraska stakeholders. The members from the unicameral are Senator Carol Burling, Senator Deb Fisher, Senator Gail Copland, Senator Leroy Loudon, Senator Rich Paul, Senator Arnie Stuthman, Senator Vicki McDonald, Senator Ron Rakes. The administration representatives appointed by the governor are Doug Ewald, State Tax Commissioner Richard Bayer, Director, Department of Economic Development. The representatives from the public sector are economist Dr. Johnny Anderson, Production Agriculture, Matthew A. Jedlicka, Industry and Manufacturing, Don Freeman, Senior Telecommunications, Mike Hibb, Low Income Sector, Milo Mumgard, Labor Sector, Mark Munger. The commission elected Senator Carol Burling and Director Richard Bayer to serve as co-chairpersons. Additionally, the commission established the following 3 subcommittees and subcommittee chairpersons: Income Tax Subcommittee, Dr. Johnny Anderson; Sales Tax Subcommittee, Don Freeman Senior; Property and Other Tax Subcommittee, Mike Hibb. In addition, in January 2007, the commission hired Robert D. McManus, a tax attorney specializing in state and local taxes, to serve as facilitator of the commission's meetings. The commission met throughout 2007, and in addition to its regular meetings, held 2 public forums in June 2007 in North Platte and Lincoln. The report is organized as follows: a section of summary and recommendations, a section analyzing Nebraska's changing demographics, a section analyzing Nebraska's overall tax structure compared to other states, and 4 sections analyzing the property tax, corporate income tax, individual income tax, and sales tax, respectively. Finally, there is a section evaluating the fairness and equity of the Nebraska administrative processes for taxpayers. Section 1. Summary of Commission Findings and Recommendations. The report of the Nebraska Tax Reform Commission addresses the status of the Nebraska tax system in 2007 by examining the overall tax burden in Nebraska compared to other states, as well as a focused examination of the tax burden of each type of Nebraska state and local tax: the property tax, the sales tax, the corporate income tax, and the individual income tax. Additionally, the commission examined the Nebraska process for the administration of tax appeals to evaluate it for fairness and equity. The last comprehensive study of Nebraska's tax system was published in 1988 by researchers from Syracuse University. The key findings and recommendations of the commission are as follows. The demographics of Nebraska in the 1880s to the 1900s serve as the basis for the local government structure which Nebraska has today. At the turn of the last century, a large population was spread out in many towns across the state, and a very large local government and school system was developed and largely funded through non-tax sources. This structure has continually decreased in scale over the last century, but, as will be discussed in detail in the property tax section of the report, today Nebraska ranks among the very highest of the states in terms of local government employees per capita, and among the very lowest in terms of state aid to local governments. Nebraska's current overall state and local tax burden ranks the state between the 15th and 18th highest of the states based upon a group of studies. When the combined federal and state local tax burden is considered, Nebraska's rank increases to 10th highest. Property tax findings and recommendations. Nebraska's property taxes are high by every measure looked at by the Commission, particularly when taking into account the fact that Nebraska's property values are significantly lower than in many other high property tax states. Nebraska's state aid to local government ranks among the very lowest of all states. Notwithstanding the two findings listed above, Nebraska's reliance on property taxes as a source of revenue is substantially lower than it was at the time of the last comprehensive study in the 1980s. In 1981, 45.8% of Nebraska's revenue came from property taxes. By 2006, that percentage had been reduced to 33.7%, which is much closer to the national norm of 31%. Moreover, state aid to local government has increased significantly over the past 20 years, and is now more than $1.2 billion per year. Based on these findings, the Commission considered a broad range of possible tax changes for the legislature to consider. The first and most sweeping possible action would be to provide an immediate and substantial shift of the tax burden from the property tax to the sales tax. For example, Nebraska could raise up to $750 million in additional sales tax revenue through the elimination of most exemptions and the taxation of most services. The sales tax effects of this alternative are described in the sales tax section. The additional revenues could be utilized to provide broad property tax relief by providing additional state aid to schools, a homestead exemption to each homeowner, or circuit breaker relief to every homeowner and renter, thereby providing property tax relief at all income levels, particularly at lower income levels. The positive effect of such a shift would be that Nebraska would immediately move into the mainstream of states in terms of the property tax burden and state aid to local government. Moreover, the reduction in the property tax burden would be relatively progressive in nature. However, there are also significant adverse consequences. The sales tax base would become one of the broadest of all the states, and many popular exemptions would be repealed. Additionally, many Nebraska taxpayers who itemize deductions for federal tax purposes would find that they have a reduction in property taxes, which is deductible for federal tax purposes, but an increase in sales taxes, which for most Nebraskans is not deductible on the federal tax return. Finally, the Commission expressed concern that this type of major shift from property tax to sales tax would not encourage local governments to continue to restructure and reduce spending. It could even result in more local spending. Unless safeguards were built into the legislation to provide additional spending restrictions, a second position examined by the Commission would be to simply continue on the course which Nebraska has been on since the 1980s. The changes made by the Nebraska legislature over the past 20 years have provided significant incremental shifts in both tax burdens and increased state aid to local governments. Additionally, many actions have been taken which have reduced the number of local governments and the number of school districts. The Nebraska property tax burden today is still high, but is significantly closer to the national average than when it was examined in the Syracuse study. A reasonable case can be made to recommend no fundamental change, but to encourage the legislature to continue its course of continuous, incremental changes. The Commission recommends a middle course of action. As is set forth in detail in the sales tax recommendations, the Commission recommends a critical review of all sales tax exemptions as well as a review of extending the sales tax to more services. Any additional revenue resulting from changes in the taxation of exemptions and services, as well as any other future surpluses, should be directed towards reducing local property tax burdens until they become more in line with national averages. Any resulting property tax relief should be shared by school districts, homeowners, and renters, and should be structured to not encourage more spending at the local level. The Commission recommends that the legislature study the issues identified in the report concerning the valuation of agricultural property and determine whether either a change to an income-based formula for valuing agricultural property or a further reduction in the percentage of value of agricultural property which is subject to tax warranted. The Commission also recommends that the legislature re-examine the manner in which school facilities are funded and consider whether state funds should be utilized to aid in funding school construction. Finally, the Commission recommends that the legislature examine the tax costs and potential economic growth value of eliminating the property tax on tangible personal property used for the production of income in order to remain competitive with neighboring states. Sales tax findings and recommendations. The Nebraska combined state and local sales tax rate of 7% is relatively high nationally, but comparable to neighboring states. The legislature has exempted many different transactions involving sales of tangible personal property over the years. Today, more than 50% of all possible sales of tangible personal property are exempted. However, this level of exemption is typical of most states. The national and Nebraska economies are increasingly impacted by sales of intangible and intellectual property and services other than tangible personal property. Services in Nebraska are not subject to sales tax unless specifically taxed by statute. While sales taxes are regressive in nature, and certain exemptions reduce regressivity, broadening the tax base may actually reduce regressivity as goods and services not ordinarily used by the low-income consumers become subject to tax. Because a large segment of Nebraska's population lives in close proximity to neighboring states, the cross-border effects of any proposed sales tax change must be considered carefully. The amount of revenue which could be generated through the elimination of exemptions and the taxation of services is potentially substantial. It would be possible to generate as much as $750 million in additional revenue from sales taxes by eliminating all sales tax exemptions except medicine, sales for resale, and sales which become component parts of manufacturing or agricultural production. Nebraska could then return to a tax credit mechanism for food purchases by those at low income levels. The Commission recognizes that every exemption from the sales tax granted by previous legislatures has been enacted for a reason and that an argument can be made for its retention. Nonetheless, the Syracuse study listed a broad group of services which could be taxed and exemptions which could be eliminated, most of which continue today. Moreover, Nebraska's economy has become increasingly service-oriented since that study. Consequently, the Commission recommends that the legislature re-examine every exemption and service in light of the changing nature of Nebraska's economy, policy in other states, and the current level of tax burden on Nebraska taxpayers. In an ideal world, every tax exemption would sunset and would not renew unless specifically reauthorized by the legislature, and all services would be presumed to be taxable unless specifically exempted by the legislature. While this scenario may not be possible, the Commission recommends that the legislature re-examine the taxation of every type of sales of personal property and services in Nebraska. In particular, the legislature should consider taxing the services identified in the Syracuse study. As part of that effort, the Commission recommends that all exemptions from the sales tax be made part of the annual appropriation process. The foregone revenue from tax exemptions should be shown side by side with all other appropriations so that legislators can better comprehend the magnitude of the exemptions compared to spending needs. Severance production taxes. The Commission recommends that the legislature consider imposing an excise tax on all ethanol produced in the state. The production of ethanol consumes a significant amount of Nebraska's agricultural land water resources. An excise tax on ethanol would be equivalent to the severance tax that other states impose upon their natural resources. The legislature should periodically monitor any changes in the markets for Nebraska ethanol to ensure that Nebraska ethanol remains competitive. The Commission recommends that the Nebraska individual income tax return form be modified to provide a line where taxpayers are required to report any use tax owed on out-of-state purchases. The corporate income tax findings and recommendations. The Commission concludes that while the utilization of the single-factor sales formula is still subject to the criticisms which were contained in the Syracuse study, it should be retained due to the significant shift in the use of the single-factor sales formula among states in the 20 years since the Syracuse study. In 1988, only Iowa employed the single-factor sales formula. Today, more states use the single-factor sales formula than the traditional three-factor formula, and in recent years, more and more state legislatures are considering adopting it in order to remain competitive with other states. The Commission recommends that the next time the legislature reviews the effectiveness of Nebraska's business incentives programs, the legislature also review the corporate income tax and its role as a vehicle for delivering tax incentives for businesses making new investments and creating new jobs in the state. As part of that review, the legislature should examine ways in which the individual income tax could be protected if the corporate income tax were modified or repealed. The Commission recommends that the legislature re-examine the level of existing corporate income tax brackets. The lowest tax bracket is imposed on the first $50,000 of income, and this level is fixed and not adjusted for inflation. Consequently, the effect of inflation has resulted in effectively increasing the tax rate of corporate taxpayers. The Commission recommends that the laws be amended to provide that the tax brackets will automatically adjust each year for inflation. The Commission is opposed to replacing the corporate income tax with a gross receipts tax, GRT, because of the regressive nature of a GRT and the pyramiding effect of a tax on a tax which a GRT produces. The Commission recommends that the legislature periodically study the experience of other states which have recently adopted GRTs. The individual income tax findings and recommendations. The Syracuse study concluded that the Nebraska individual income tax is reasonably fair, and we recommend no immediate changes in the tax structure. The changes made to the tax over the last 20 years have not changed the fundamental structure of the tax. Moreover, state tax comparisons generally show that Nebraska's individual income tax burden ranks in the middle third of the states. The Commission recommends that the law be amended to provide that the four tax brackets automatically adjust upwards or downwards to take into account the effect of inflation. The existing system reduces the progressivity of the tax by shifting taxpayers into higher brackets when their income increases. On equity grounds, the Commission believes that the tax bracket should be indexed for inflation. A 2006 Nebraska Department of Revenue study shows that the Nebraska personal income tax is reasonably progressive through all income levels, except that in the top decile, the progressivity increases exponentially. The Income Tax Subcommittee of the Commission concluded that Nebraska's income tax appears to be breathtakingly progressive. The Commission recommends that the Department of Revenue study this issue and report to the legislature whether this result is consistent with a fairly progressive tax system and whether adjustments should be made. State Tax Administration findings and recommendations. The Commission concludes that the existing administrative hearing process for adjudicating tax disputes provides a generally fair and impartial process which protects the rights of taxpayers. However, the Commission recommends that the Department of Revenue and the legislature consider the following relatively minor modifications to further improve the process. Extend the current 30-day period for protesting a sales and use tax assessment to provide ample time for appeal. Change the date for filing state income tax returns to at least 30 days after the date for filing the federal tax return. Take steps to insulate the administrative hearing officer from the appearance of influence from the Department of Revenue. This could be accomplished by retaining an independent third party to conduct the administrative hearings or by moving the hearing officer to a neutral state office separated from the Department of Revenue.